102.5 The Game has teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption this Friday at Pella, 256 East Main Street in Hendersonville from 4 to 6. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Let's go to our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, and welcome in the Athletics' Scott Wheeler, who recently ranked the Predators farm system as the fifth best system in the NHL in his annual rankings. Hi, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing well. Just about to pack up for the Frozen Four tomorrow and getting down to Vegas. So looking forward to that.
Outstanding. Well, we're glad to have you back on the show again. So in your write-up on the Predators farm system being the fifth best in the NHL in your annual rankings, you wrote that the Predators are an A plus, prospect away from being the true cream of the crop. And Predators fans are hoping that Brady Martin can be that guy. For our listeners who have not followed Martin's season since the Predators returned him to juniors back in October, what strides has he made in his development?
Well, it's been a bit of a weird year for Brady. He has dealt with a shoulder issue that has kind of persisted for him throughout this season, and he has played through it. He has taken some breaks, but he just hasn't quite been the Brady Martin, at least not consistently, that we maybe expected him to be. He's coming out of a year where he scored 30 plus goals in the OHL in his draft year and was a dominant sort of physical presence in the league. And that is a huge part of his identity, just the open ice hits, the physicality, the edge that he plays with, the competitive drive that he plays with. And when you're not feeling quite 100%, physically, it can be harder to play that style. It can also be harder to get to the inside. And he's had some real highs this year. Before aggravating the injury at the World Juniors, I thought he was arguably Canada's best, most consistent forward at the World Junior Tournament. He was certainly an important part of their best line with Michael Hage and Gavin McKenna. And he's had some stretches since returning to OHL hockey here, where he has looked really, really, really good, but he just hasn't been able to have that sort of 10-20 game stretch where he takes over and looks like one of the best players in the league this year. And I think part of that is just because he hasn't fully felt himself for much of the season.
Riker Lee, Scott seems to have shot up your rankings this season. What do you think his best case scenario is as an NHL player?
That he went to Michigan State.
Other than going to Michigan State. Derek Mason, a proud Michigan State alum, of course.
Yeah, I mean, I've been pretty bullish on Riker dating back to last year in the draft process. I was higher on him than most and believe that he deserved to be in the sort of top 15, top 20 conversation in last year's draft. Obviously, he goes just outside of that to the Preds. And then this year he makes the jump to the Spartans and joins a line with Eric Nelson and Anthony Romani that was kind of a middle six line for the Spartans behind their three big boys of Daniel Russell, Porter Martone, and Charlie Stramel, who kind of made up their first line and one of the very best lines in college hockey. And in that role was their fourth leading scorer behind those three big boys, and made some of the prettiest plays that were made by any forward in college hockey this year. And that last part is what really defines Riker. He is a highly, highly, highly gifted player with the puck on his stick. They have called him the Wizard dating back to his Shattuck St. Mary's days. Actually, the Knighty, the coach at MSU, kind of coined it when they used to go and watch him, and he had this spray painted stick and he would just dangle and dance his way around the ice and wow you with his stick skills. And that is, he's still doing that all these years later. He did it at Shattuck St. Mary's in the Minnesota high school prep circuit. He has done it now in the USHL in Madison. And then this year did it at a very high level and was just under a point per game and had a 30 plus point season for one of the better teams in the country. And that part of it is exciting because it's a little of what is lacking when you sort of alluded off the top of that sort of A-plus quality. That A-plus quality is typically a high-end skill guy. And they have, up and down their pool, the Preds, that is, have a lot of guys like Brady Martin who are sort of ultra-competitive, going to have long careers as very good players in the NHL, Preds fans have already been introduced to Zachary Leroux and Fedor Svechkov and some of the sort of piece, some of the players who have kind of fit this identity for them. And obviously Matthew Wood's a little bit different than that, but the rest of them in Yegor Sirin, who's coming from Russia, the rest of them kind of fit that mold. Yegor is obviously very high on my list and had an excellent year in the KHL, and his competitive DNA is at the sort of the focal point of his game, if you will. With Rieker, that's not necessarily the, I actually think Rieker is sneaky competitive and has a little bit more competitive jam than people realize, but it's not central to everything else about his game. Everything else about his game actually revolves around his puck skill and his ability to beat guys one-on-one, to score goals in tight, to rip his curl and drag wrister, just a sort of special talent with the puck. The big question with Rieker Lee has always been about his feet. And I've spoken to him about it. I've spoken to people from the USHL and MSU about it, NHL scouts about it. And that was what in his draft year held him from being a top 10, top 15 pick in the class, which is where he belonged from a pure skill standpoint. But I thought he kept up, importantly. I thought he really, really kept up. And the pace of play, the skating was not an issue for him at the college level this year for me, frankly, at all. So that's huge. And then on top of it, he just has a point production ceiling. If he really, truly hits his best case outcome, he's got a point production ceiling that maybe the rest of their forward prospects lack.
We're talking to Scott Wheeler from The Athletic. He has done his prospect rankings, and the Predators have come in at number 5, which is even an improvement from last year. And the deepness of the pool is really the strength of it. Scott, I'd love to hear your process as you evaluate somebody like Matt Wood, who we're watching every night now playing these big games. He's got 16 goals. And so you viewing him as a prospect, knowing a little bit what he's done scratching the surface here at the highest level, how do you weigh that with, say, a guy like Yegor Sirin, who's playing, you know, overseas, playing over in Russia? He's younger. That's got to be a difficult process to sort through.
Yeah, I joked when I was in the process of putting together these updated reports and this updated sort of top 15, top 20 prospects for the Preds. I sent out a tweet joking about how I feel like I've been watching Joachim Kemmel, another player that we haven't even mentioned.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been watching Joachim Kemmel for a decade at this point, even though he's only 21. Some of these guys have just been around longer than others. I've familiarized myself with them more than others. I've been watching Zach LaRue since his Halifax Mooseheads days, since his rookie season with the Halifax Mooseheads. I remember being impressed by him at Canada's World Junior Summer Showcase in Calgary years ago. And so there's players that I've seen across different levels, across different events. I've seen them live. I've seen them on tape. There's kids that I've seen a ton over the years. And then you're right. There's kids like Sirin, who, because of the war in Ukraine and Russia not participating recently at the U18 and U20 level internationally through the IHF, I have never seen Yegor Sirin play live. Very few people in North America who watch hockey for a living have seen him play live, including NHL scouts. So that part of it is tricky. You've got guys like Matt Wood that you mentioned. Like, I've watched, I can't even count the number of hockey games I've watched Matt Wood play, whether it's at U18 Worlds, whether it's at the World Juniors, World Junior Summer Showcase, UConn, University of Minnesota, on tape, obviously, with the Preds and with Milwaukee. It's just been a long time for Matt. So I know exactly who Matt is as a player. It's really the younger guys. It's the Sirins, those types that I have to sort of familiarize myself with and spend more time on and sort of really get a firm hold on so that I can measure them against the Matt Woods that I've seen play a ton. And even Ryan Ufko, who's breaking into the league this year, like I've been watching Ryan play since his USHL days. Right. So it's definitely a balancing act, balancing some of those 22-year-olds against some of the 19, 20-year-olds, but that's part of the fun.
Scott, so let's take it a little bit further with Matt Wood. You made an interesting observation with him, because I thought your description, I was actually talking to Hal Gill about this yesterday, some of those details you wrote, you know, it just was eye-popping for us because we've seen this on display. But you made a great point. There's a difference between being a really good player at the NHL, which it looks like he has a really good chance to be based on what he's doing now, and that real next-level guy that moves the needle like 30 goals and things like that. So what's going to separate those two in your mind?
Well, similarly to Lee, they're very different players. They're built different. They've got different bodies. Matt is much taller. But similar to Riker, the question has always been less about puck skill and puck protection and the ability to shoot the puck, and more about the boots and the feet and whether Matt was going to be able to keep up at the NHL level and not just keep up, but win races. And he has always been able to get going. It's more just that sort of first two or three steps when he's standing still, where you can see some of the lengths sort of work against him a little bit. But I think some of the positives of this year have been that it hasn't been a major issue for him. And as a result, you start to wonder, okay, maybe this is a player who can go from being a 20 goal scorer, which is a very valuable player on an NHL roster, to the kind of guy who scores 30 or 32 or 33 goals for you, in which case he's a surefire, clear top six player on most teams, right? So that is going to be the challenge, I think, for a lot of the Preds players. We're now beginning to see a lot of them in the NHL. Svechkov, I mentioned, Leroux, I mentioned. You've seen a little bit of Joachim Kemmel now. Ufko's now made the jump. You've seen a little bit of Schaefer. Like, there are just these guys, and it's okay. Can you be a player on this version of the Nashville Predators, which isn't a playoff team, or at least doesn't look like a playoff team? Or can you be that player on a version of the Predators that wins playoff series? And that is a very different level, right? So now you've got to separate some of those guys. They've got David Edstrom down in Milwaukee as well, another player who's a center who just looks like he's going to play NHL games. But what kind of NHL games, and how high in an NHL lineup? And that's what they've got to sort through. They're going to have to sort through it with Cameron Reed and Tanner Molendijk, two defensemen who look a lot alike. There may only be room for one of Molendijk and Reed to become the best version of themselves on the Preds roster of the future, right? And they've got to figure out which one of those two players that is. So all sorts of things that they still need to sort out. And they've got the luxury of time with players like Reed, who was just drafted, or Riker Lee, who was just drafted, or Brady Martin, just drafted. But the clock has started to tick on some of those 20-year-olds who have sort of bounced between the AHL and the NHL over the last 12 months.
Scott, real quick before we let you go, and this is probably an answer you could give a much longer one than we have time for, but we discuss all the time the difference in having a deep prospect pool versus maybe a thinner pool, but you have those freaks at the top, those needle movers. You know, the extreme example would be Macklin Celebrini. Barry Trotz calls him the accelerator, right? He's moving their whole franchise forward faster just because of how great one guy is. But what, in your mind, what's the value of having a prospect pool like the Predators have right now?
The value of having a prospect pool like the Preds have right now is that it gives you probably a pretty high floor. Then it's incumbent on you to go and somehow find the next Roman Josi, right? Like the next Pekarene, the next guy who can actually elevate your floor. I think all of these players will give the Predators a very competitive roster. They will give them a roster that it plays in close games and all of that. But you need every team that wins this day, or almost every team, I think maybe the St. Louis Blues in the late 2010s being the only recent exception, really. And that St. Louis Blues team still had Alex Pietrangelo and others, Ryan O'Reilly playing at an elite level at the time. But you need a superstar. Like, you need the Alex Ovechkin or the Jack Eichel or the Connor McDavid or the Nathan MacKinnon or the Cale Makar, or you go down the list, right? So that's hard to find without drafting at the very top. Obviously, in Brady Martin at fifth overall, they got pretty close to drafting at the very top. I'm a huge fan of Brady, his family, everything about him, the player, the kid. I'm not sure that that was the best play for them in terms of elevating their ceiling. And there were others like Porter Martone, who are now seeing play excellent hockey after his run at Michigan State, who are now playing in the NHL, that were just drafted right sort of in and around him. James Higgins obviously went shortly after to the Boston Bruins and is now playing in the AHL with the Bruins, and was a top 10 finalist for the Hobie Baker this year at Boston College. I think Brady has a chance to be a comparable player to some of those kids, but I do think because the offensive ceiling maybe will never be there, that it's going to be hard for him to truly take the organization forward in a big way. So there's still work to be done to find that player. And that feels, I know it's, Preds fans are probably tired of hearing that, but it kind of feels like that's been the story of the organization, at least at forward. They've had Shea Weber and Roman Josi and Rene, and they've had those pieces on the back end, but that sort of transformational forward feels like it's always sort of dangling at the end of the carrot, if you will.
Scott Wheeler of The Athletic has been our guest on D. May's Vingan and Donick. I encourage you to read his prospect rankings, but particularly the one about the Predators. Scott ranked them fifth in the NHL. Scott, thank you so much for your time. We're glad to have you back on the show. Have a safe trip to the Frozen Four.
Cheers.
I just want to say one thing before we go to break, okay? I just want to say one thing, okay?
You should have saw him over here, Willie. You should have saw him.
You really should have.
We talked about messaging a couple of weeks ago, right? Mm. Where if I point out something, people think that I'm being a negative Nelly. That last answer from Scott Wheeler sounds a lot like what I've been saying. But coming from Scott, maybe some of you will listen. That's all I'm going to say. We'll react to more of it when we come back. 615-737-1020. I'm just saying. I was sitting here and
Oh, I didn't even have to be in the room to know what Adam was thinking as he was saying that.
And that was Willie who asked that question. And it wasn't a leading question. It wasn't me asking the question. So I'm just saying, when y'all go, oh, Adam, he's just being negative, listen to what the expert just said. Okay? That's all I'm saying. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction to what Scott had to say. We'll also look ahead to the Predators matchup tonight against the Anaheim Ducks. But you can tee it up with us at the 5th Annual 615 Open, May 28th at Hermitage Golf Course. We are once again supporting Folds of Honor to help them fund life-changing scholarships for families of America's fallen heroes. Register now to play or sponsor at 615open.com.